Even before Aaron Sorkin's play A Few Good Men opened on Broadway in 1989, film producer David Brown had decided it was going to be a big movie. He bought the rights on the basis of the first draft alone. 3 years later, it's a very major motion picture with Tom Cruise, Demi Moore, and Jack Nicholson, directed by Rob Reiner, whose last two movies were When Harry Met Sally and Misery. Is A Few Good Men worthy of the Oscar nominations everyone predicts? Film critic Stephen Schiff went to find out.
The nominations are a sure bet, and the box office take is certain to be hefty, but I can't work up much affection for A Few Good Men. Rob Reiner's a very proficient director. It's amazing how much military spit and polish he brings to Aaron Sorkin's script, which is clearly suffering from gunmetal fatigue. But how exciting can a movie be without a single unpredictable moment? Even if you hadn't seen the Caine Mutiny Court-Martial, which is what A Few Good Men is so desperately trying to be, this material would still look worn. It's Perry Mason in a uniform. The setting is Washington, where young Navy lawyer Daniel Caffey, played by Tom Cruise, has just been assigned to a new case. At America's base in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, a young Marine has been punished by two other Marines for breaking the chain of command. Somehow, the discipline has gotten out of hand, and now the victim is dead, and his attackers are accused of murder. Cruise's character is a lackadaisical hotshot who's famous for his ability to plea bargain. In fact, he's never seen the inside of a courtroom. But the internal affairs lawyer assigned to the case, played by Demi Moore, won't let him shrug this one off.
Lieutenant, this letter makes it look like your client had a motive to kill Santiago.
Gotcha. And Santiago is who?
The victim.
Write that down. Am I correct in assuming that these letters don't paint a flattering picture of Marine Corps life at Guantanamo Bay?
Yes,
I'm further right in assuming that a protracted investigation of this incident might cause some embarrassment for the Security Council guy?
Colonel Jessup,
I... 12 years.
I'm sorry?
I'll get them to drop the conspiracy and conduct unbecoming. 12 years.
You haven't talked to a witness or looked at a piece of paper.
Pretty impressive, huh?
You're gonna have to go deeper than that.
Commander, do you have some sort of jurisdiction here that I should know about?
My job is to make sure that you do your job. I'm special counsel for internal affairs, so my jurisdiction's pretty much in your face.
Cruise and Moore spend most of the movie struggling to get their mouths around Sorkin's sometimes long-winded dialogue. Mostly Cruise manages and Moore wipes out. Her performance is of the, hey, let's give the homecoming queen a part in the school play variety. And she's done something really scary with her hair. I think the style's called shepherd's pie. Tom Cruise does what he always does, which is to say he starts out seeming so juvenile and awkward that you can't believe you're going to actually watch him pretend to be a grown-up for 2 hours. And then, like all his characters, he develops from a boy into a man before your eyes. As Lieutenant Caffey gets serious about the case and acquires the courage of his convictions, Cruise expands too. He'll never have much range or subtlety, but he has a lot of presence and a lot of charm. He has to, because the man he's going up against in this movie is Jack Nicholson. As the commanding officer down at Guantanamo Bay, Nicholson dispels whatever counterfeit suspense the movie might have had from the moment you see him. This crew-cut, cigar-chomping bulldog is an instant villain, so much larger than life that if he were to appear in more than 3 scenes, he'd swamp the film. Still, you have to admire Jack's discipline here. He manages to exude the usual Nicholsonian evil while actually keeping his eyebrows down somewhere in the region of his eyes. Besides, I loved watching him bellow and sneer. You could say his performance is too juicy. You could say, in fact, it's pure dripping ham. But hey, when the plot is this rusty, you need the grease.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.